Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, where we'll take you through some of the day's main news before 5:30. So coming up, the first public meetings on plans for the offshore wind farm got underway this morning. We'll bring you some of the key things that were said. Also tonight, after 10 days of strike action, buses are largely back to normal today, but what impact has that walkout had so far? Also, have you got travel coming up that's in or around the Middle East? We've got a local travel agent with some important advice before you go, given what's happening there. And government today has unveiled a new 10-year strategy support. What does it mean for athletes and clubs across the island? All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as well, all to come before 5:30. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan. First of all, Fastamai.
The start of the initial round of meetings about plans for the offshore wind farm in Manx Waters got underway today. All week until Friday, an examining body panel will hear from the applicants Ørsted, members of the public and experts from various fields and businesses about the proposal for 87 wind turbines off the east coast of the island. It's hoped changes to the island's first-time buyers schemes will be enacted before the next general election. Infrastructure Minister Tim Cruckle told the House of Keys today that a public consultation has now been completed.
Feedback from the consultation has been influential in the development of the final recommendations for change. These final recommendations are due to be considered by the Council of Ministers shortly, after which it is intended that the amendment scheme will be brought forward for approval at Tynwald in May.
Meanwhile, Mr Cruckle says his department has been in dialogue with the Northern local authorities in respect of the Northern Civic Amenity site. It's expected there'll be a short changeover period between the operators, and the minister says the DOI is working to minimise disruptions. And Manx TT competitor Jamie Kringle will compete for the Cosmic Racing Team at this year's Isle of Man TT races. Further afield, the UK Prime Minister's confirmed a warship is being sent to Cyprus to defend British personnel based there. HMS Dragon's being deployed along with helicopters with counter-drone capabilities after an RAF base was targeted by Iran over the weekend. The UK Chancellor's presented a rosy picture of the state of the UK economy, even as oil and gas prices soar. And England's rugby union head coach Steve Borthwick's changed his entire back division for Saturday's Six Nations clash with Italy. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at six.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It is so lovely out there at the moment, and it will be fine and dry for the rest of today. Just light breezes. It will get cloudier later on this evening, and a few spots of rain are possible for a time overnight. The wind will veer southeast and freshen as well. Minimum overnight temperatures tonight will be around 5. Then tomorrow, generally dry, but it is going to be cloudy. A few sunny intervals may break through. A moderate to fresh southeast wind. Top temperatures tomorrow, 10. And just looking ahead to Thursday, not so good. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain. The wind will veer to the northwest and strengthen as well. And top temperatures, though, again, on Thursday, around 10 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573. Visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
It's 3.5 minutes past five. Well, as we've just heard, the start of the initial round of meetings about plans for an offshore wind farm in Manx Waters got underway today. So all week until Friday, an examining body panel are going to hear from the applicants Ørsted, members of the public and experts from various fields and businesses about that proposal for 87 wind turbines off the east coast of the island. In August last year, the Council of Ministers accepted for examination an application by Ørsted for the development of that project. Chanel Suku was at the start of the Morvannon Wind Farm inquiry and has this report.
Under the Marine Infrastructure Management Act, once an application is accepted, a formal consultation process begins. An initial meeting this morning set out the agenda for the rest of the week, with commissioners, residents and representatives from other businesses in attendance. Michael Gregg, representing the North Fell Offshore Wind Farm, told the panel his organisation would respond to Ørsted's application and engage with the company during the process. Members of GAF commissioners also addressed the hearing, saying they'd like greater involvement throughout and offering to take part in site visits. Clerk Martin Royal asked the panel to consider environmental assessments, the economic future of the island, and what he described as a uniquely Manx approach. GAF resident Ian Stratford urged the panel to weigh up both the benefits and disbenefits to the island, while another resident, Patricia Newton, asked whether members would consider visiting turbines in the UK waters by ferry. She was advised to submit a suggestion formally for consideration. Panel member Mr. Smith said further meetings could take place in May or July, but only if the examining body requires additional clarity. A public meeting is underway at Woodbourne House in Douglas, where members of the public are giving their views to both the examining body and Ofsted. For the rest of the week, the panel will sit at Comus Hotel. Tomorrow, discussions will focus on marine infrastructure consent and land and rights issues. From Thursday, environmental impact assessments and protected species will be examined, with shipping and navigation due to be discussed on Friday, the final day of the hearings.
That is Chanel Suku reporting there. And as she mentioned, that public meeting ongoing currently at Woodbourne House in Douglas. We will have more from what the public who are there in attendance have to say on breakfast tomorrow. It's coming up to 6 minutes past five. Well, as that situation continues in the Middle East, millions of people's travel plans have been affected. And there are a number from the Isle of Man who are also caught up in the disruption. So what should you do if your travel plans in the immediate future involve going to this area? Brian Kelly is from Manlink Travel.
Well, most of the airlines that are flying, say, through Dubai is a good example because that's the largest hub. The airlines will offer a refund or they'll offer to rebook the flights. And that's available up until, I think, the 5th of March. And then as we get closer to that date and if things have been resolved, they will extend that date again. But hopefully, with some positive news coming out, maybe in 2 or 3 days, we'll actually be getting back to some sort of normality. The one thing to consider is that looking at travel insurance, because this is an act of war to an extent, standard travel insurance will not cover any claims relating to this. So I can tell you that in 99.9% of all travel insurance policies, when there's an act of war, the policy is null and void. There is no cover in respect to acts of war. And that's never been any different, to be honest.
So what's your advice then for anybody who's in this situation? What is the first thing that they should be doing?
If you've booked for a travel agency, please contact your local travel agency. They are well organised and they'll have information available at their fingertips as the situation changes. If you book directly with the airline, slightly different situation because these airlines are swamped with hundreds, thousands of phone calls. So getting through to an airline is actually quite difficult at the moment. If you booked for a tour operator in the UK, then contact the tour operator and they will sort you out via your ATOL cover. So certainly we think that the situation is likely to change fairly quickly. So it's a matter of just keeping an eye on what's happening from the news and as and when you can get through to your airline, talk to them and certainly pop in and see a travel agent.
That is Brian Kelly from Manlink Travel talking to Amy there on the BBC. Currently, President Trump is taking questions on Iran and a UK charter flight is leaving Oman in the coming days, bringing some of the British people there home. The US Secretary of State warns the hardest hits on Iran, though, are yet to come. Well, last night, the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, issued a statement regarding those unfolding events in the Middle East. He said government's focus was on ensuring impacted Manx residents had access to clear, reliable and up-to-date advice, which is issued by the UK Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office. Mr. Cannon confirmed that if the UK government arranges assisted travel back to the UK, British nationals who are usually resident here, as well as holders of Isle of Man passports, will be included in those arrangements. Siobhan Fletcher has that statement from the Chief Minister in full now.
Mr. Cannon says, "In these difficult times, my thoughts are with everyone affected by the unfolding events in the Middle East. We recognise that many across our community will feel concerned for friends, family members or fellow islanders who may be travelling or living in the region. Our focus is to ensure that anyone who may be affected by the events has access to clear, reliable and up-to-date advice, which is issued by the UK Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office. Their travel advice pages include a simple registration form as well as a contact number for those who need further assistance. Once registered, individuals will receive direct updates from the UK government as the situation evolves. Should the UK government decide to arrange assisted travel back to the UK, British nationals who are usually resident in the Isle of Man, as well as holders of Isle of Man variant British passports, will be included in those arrangements. On arriving in the UK, individuals would need to arrange and pay for their remaining journey home. It's therefore important that people check the terms of their travel insurance." Mr. Cannon concluded, "We will remain in regular contact with the UK government and continue to monitor events closely through our established channels. Our aim is to ensure that anyone affected by these events receives timely information, clear guidance, and the reassurance that we are doing all we can to support them during this uncertain period."
Siobhan Fletcher with that statement in full from the Chief Minister on the situation in the Middle East. It's coming up to 5:10. A man will be sentenced later this year after fraudulently obtaining a work permit, faking qualifications, defrauding local businesses, and stealing and wearing a military uniform without authority. Christopher Stocks, currently care of the Isle of Man prison, appeared at Douglas Courthouse today, where he entered 7 guilty pleas, as Siobhan reports.
The 40-year-old moved to the island with his wife and children in July 2024 with a work permit in place that he had gained based on false qualifications. Police were alerted by a member of the public to the deception. It was later revealed that Stocks had submitted fake city and guild certificates to the Department for Enterprise, as well as subsequent employers. His employers also alerted police that he wasn't a qualified electrician, raising concerns about his abilities in the field. Elsewhere, the court heard he had organised and taken delivery of goods, including a sofa and bedroom furniture worth £5,590 from Homeco in Douglas and a six-person hot tub worth £16,385 from Arctic Spas, Isle of Man. He had sent falsified screenshots as evidence of payment, however, each company never received any money. They made repeated attempts to obtain payment to no avail. In a separate incident, Stock stole military uniform and equipment worth £340. He later wore the uniform without authority. That's an offence which is illegal under the Uniforms Act 1894. Addressing the court, Stocks's advocate said the furniture and hot tub were returned to the companies upon his arrest, questioning the value lost as a result. He also described his client as having emotionally unstable personality disorder, that's formerly known as borderline personality disorder. Deputy High Bailiff Rachel Braidwood declined jurisdiction. A social inquiry report has been requested before Stocks is sentenced at the Court of General Jail Delivery. He'll next appear there on the 20th of March.
Siobhan reporting there. Coming up to 5:12 here on Update. So as of 3 a.m. this morning, the 10-day bus drivers' strike came to an end. For now, we know further industrial action is still planned as that dispute over pay and contracts continues. Well, over the past 10 days, one service that's actually seen a sharp rise in demand over here is LiftShare. This is the website which helps people arrange lifts with one another. Amy Young is from LiftShare and she's been talking to our Amy about that surge in use.
LiftShare is one of MobilityWay's products that aims to reduce commuting emissions. But actually, as a social enterprise, MobilityWay offers LiftShare for free for members of the public to use to be able to find carpooling matches. And we liken it to a dating platform because you can add your journey onto the platform, find somebody else to share with, and then you can just take the conversation offline and meet them up and share with them either one-off or regularly. We've got well over 700,000 members now and people can use it anywhere in the world. We have the most members in the UK and Ireland, but yeah, we've spoken with the Isle of Man government and created a LiftShare page for them so that they could get the word out on Isle of Man as well.
So how long have you had a presence here on the island then?
We created the landing page only in September 2025 last year, and initially we saw about 700 page visitors last year, and then this year it's really ramped up, and most of those, so over 1,000, were in the last week since the bus strikes.
Gosh, so that's really had a big impact then on the use of the site at least.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people just need an alternative. So LiftShare is suitable for drivers and passengers, and somebody can post a journey as either, or they can say, yeah, I'm happy to be both a driver and a passenger. So it's really helpful for people who want to share a journey to save perhaps petrol costs, or people who otherwise, don't have a car, or things like bus strikes, they need to find an alternative.
And what kind of safeguarding measures are in place as well, just to try and keep it as safe as possible?
So we advise people that whenever they first share with somebody, meet them in a public place, perhaps go for a coffee, let friends and family know that you're going. You can also check their driving licence and input their car registration on DVLA. You can check their insurance details as well.
That is Amy Young from LiftShare. Well, as I mentioned, there is more industrial action planned for this Friday. That's the 6th of March, if an agreement between the DOI and bus fanning can't be reached. That'll be from the 6th until the 10th of March. There's more then planned for the 13th to the 17th, then the 20th of March to the 24th, and the 27th of March to the 31st. You can find all those details on the Manx Radio website.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Nothing we're aware of from the police this afternoon, which is always good. Quite a few traffic lights around and about, though, in Cuaig. Still those lights at the bottom of Cuaig Hill. In Port Sodric all this week, there are temporary lights on the Old Castletown Road. That's just at the Marine Drive turn. In Peel, temporary lights at the top of Derby Road. That's between the swimming pool and Ballaquane Road. That's 24 hours a day for gas main works. Also, temporary lights on the Ballymoda Strait. That's between the Shoulder Road and the St Mark's turn, 24 hours a day. In Douglas, remember that every night this week, the Millennium Bridge across the harbour is going to be closed for maintenance work. That's from 8pm until 4am. And in the west of the island again, tomorrow morning from 9.30, part of the TT course closed. That's between Belig Bridge and Lamphell. That is for tree felling. All looking good down at the airport and the steam packet as well. The Maximum's in pretty early this afternoon. It got in at 4:45, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's 5:15 now, and government has announced the launch of a new 10-year Isle of Man strategy for sport, running, see the pun there, up to 2036. So it's highlighted multiple areas for growing sport on the island over the next decade. Our sports editor, Rob Pritchard, has been taking a look at this and joins me now. Rob, just to start off with, what are some of the main overall features of this strategy?
So this strategy is split into eight key areas on how government hopes to grow Manx sport over the next 10 years, and each of those areas have several priorities and key actions that officials are looking to address in the coming years. A Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, Daphne Kane, says this plan aims to make sure they continue to enrich lives and strengthen communities through accessible opportunities to participate in sport and physical activity.
Okay, so among those eight key areas that you mentioned, we understand there's going to be a big focus on the fact the Isle of Man's hosting the 2029 International Island Games.
Yes, there's a lot of key objectives around that particular event. We already heard during last month's Manx budget that more than £2.6 million will be invested in NSC facilities over the next 3 years in preparation for the Games. And outside of that, the strategy also wants to bring in and retain new volunteers that can contribute to sport during the Games and also long after the event. There's also aims to identify and provide funding to support preparations for sports that will be part of the Games. And also there's hopes to deliver what are being described as mini Island Games festivals with local schools.
So away from that then, there also appears to be an emphasis over the coming years on environmental sustainability in Manx sport.
Indeed, and one of the biggest statements is made around this is the government says it aspires to create, in their words, the greenest International Island Games to date in 2029. Outside of that and more generally, officials are looking at making energy efficient upgrades to facilities like the NSC, including things such as LED lighting and air source heat pumps, and elsewhere support regional swimming pool boards with decarbonisation programmes and implement recycling and waste reduction initiatives across facilities and events.
So obviously at the moment we haven't got enough time to go through every part of the strategy, but another thing I understand that's at the heart of it is pathways for athletes and also improving sporting infrastructure over here.
Oh yes, most certainly. So under the strategy, government says it's also aiming, among other things in those regards, to work with key partners to make sure financial support is available to all athletes on its programmes, as well as identify and develop pathways for disabled and para-athletes. And when it comes to infrastructure objectives, among the aims are to develop a new fitness and exercise space as part of the NSC grandstand development project, work in partnership with the Isle of Man FA and Football Foundation to access funding to develop more 3G pitches across the island, and also establish and develop a new sports hub in Castletown, which would involve incorporating new sports facilities at Castle Russian High School as part of the school's development. And just more broadly, if you do wish to read the strategy in full, you can find the link to it via our website at manxradio.com.
Rob, thank you so much. It's great, isn't it? We're such a sporting nation, so it's great to see this vision, I think, over the next decade.
Indeed, and funnily enough, with the stories that we've published previously, this today and previously around the funding that was announced in the budget, listening to a couple of the comments there is that it is being welcomed by certain people, but some people will be wondering, well, when is it going to happen? When is this going to be? Can you definitively tell us? Of course, there are no specific dates for certain projects outlined in this particular strategy. There's a lot of things to consider, but overall, there are a lot of things in there that I'm sure people will be very keen to see happen.
Rob, for now, thank you very much indeed. It's coming up to 5:20. As we heard on this programme yesterday, the planning committee voted by the narrowest of margins against a planning officer's recommendation to refuse permission for the multi-million pound Douglas bus station site. A lack of affordable housing and public open space was cited by the officer as reasons for refusal. So after that, that 3-3 split, the chair, Rob Callister, MHK, used his casting vote to allow the planning process to move forward. Well, after that happened yesterday, John Moss spoke to leader of Douglas City Council, Devon Watson, who acknowledges there are differing opinions about this scheme.
Mixed benefits and costs for this development, but at the same time, we can't be afraid of development. We can't be afraid of improving infrastructure and improving and creating additional leisure facilities. That is the city centre. We are building additional facilities to make sure that people have as many options as possible. And I think what we want to see is we want to see development that's right, and we want to see development that works for people. So adding additional homes into the city centre is desperately needed, and bus station facilities, which we've lacked for decades.
Speaking against the plans at the planning meeting was David Wertheim.
I find it surprising that the chairman of the committee will vote against the recommendation of the planning officer on a split vote. It would seem to me that the chairman should accept the recommendation of the planning officer and therefore cast a vote in favour of the recommendation. And the recommendation was to refuse the application.
Obviously, this bus station site, it was levelled in 2002. We've been waiting 20, 25 years for something to happen. The argument was we do need this scheme or a scheme to go ahead.
A scheme should go ahead, but not this scheme.
So any sort of compromise, you feel?
If they removed the tower of 12 stories, which is substantially higher than any other building on the Isle of Man, then certainly I am totally in favour of redevelopment of the site, but that is not what is going to happen. Unfortunately, this will set an appalling precedent.
So some differing opinions there, as we say, that was heard at the planning committee yesterday. It's going to move ahead in some form in terms of the fact that the planning committee now will look at some of the conditions and then decide whether or not to go ahead with the planning application as it is. You can find out much more on the Manx Radio website. You can find it at manxradio.com. Incidentally, lots of your views as well on our social media pages. We also welcome that. And if you'd like to get involved in any discussion on Man in Line, and it is out of hours, you can always leave a message for Andy, 682 634. 22 minutes past five now, and a long-standing community-focused talent competition held annually in the Isle of Man is coming up soon. It is the Braid of Stedford, and it really honestly is one of the highlights of the cultural calendar. It's also open to anyone with any talent, so it doesn't matter what you do, whether maybe you're a singer, a poetry reader, or you play a musical instrument, you'd be very, very welcome. Dot Tilbury is one of the adjudicators, and actually she says, for anyone thinking about the Guild, which again is not too far away, this is the perfect warm-up event.
It's excellent because you've got the audience there, and honestly, they're the best audience in the world, and you can just get used to sort of getting up in front of people. So any child or anybody that wants a little bit of practice, if you play the piano, we've got lovely piano. It's not a rubbishy one like you used to get in church hall with about three notes working. It's a really good piano. So we're a kind audience. We encourage everybody, and nearly everybody gets a certificate.
Well, that was going to be my question. What do you get? I mean, not that I'm all about the competition, but you did mention it was a little bit of a competition. Is there a first prize?
A first prize, second prize. There's lots of joint third prizes with about four people. You know, because if there's like five in a class and three have got a certificate, you are highly commended, yeah, or something. Yeah. We like to be kind, and it depending on what mood we're in, you know. But as I said, we've got lovely adjudicators. There's me, who does the literary, and Gareth, who does the musical, and then of course Wendy on the piano, and Chris Lyons, who's the chairman.
And what are you looking for? You're not necessarily looking for pitch perfect. Is it just about giving it all you got?
We need pitch perfect.
Oh.
No, I'm only joking. No, I was told once that I had a lousy voice, but I had perfect pitch. So I'm usually pitch perfect if anybody's looking for pitch perfect, but I've got a lousy voice. That was one of the remarks I received.
I'm going to guess that it's not an event that maybe has a definite end time. This could go on for a while, could it?
Well, we're not bad now. I mean, I remember the nights when you had to walk down the road for your supper to the little chapel, which has now been disintegrated, where the Christmas tree usually is. And you had to walk down there for your supper, and then walk back up to the Braid, and this would be about 1 o'clock in the morning, and it would go on till 2 o'clock in the morning, but those days are finished. The final act is everybody who's been in all the competitions all come on the stage and we sing "O Land of Our Birth"
and that's really nice.
So it's worth coming just to hear everybody singing that.
Bet it is. Dot Tilbury, one of the Braid of Stedford adjudicators. So this year's event, it takes place on Saturday, the 14th of March from 7:30. The entrance fee as well includes a supper, which is very well renowned. Sport here on Update is brought to you by the Print Shed, and Rob is back with us. You know what I'm going to ask you, don't you? If you were going to the Stedford, what would your talent be?
I'd have to have a think about that, but I think crucially what people want to know is, Beth, what would you go to that event with?
Well, I'll think about that while you do your sport.
We've really informed people there, haven't we? We've really given them our thoughts on this whole thing. Sport now then. First off, Motorsport Manx TT competitor Jamie Kringle will compete for the Cosmic Racing team of this year's Isle of Man TT races. The 28-year-old will take on the Snaefell Mountain Course on BMW M1000RR machinery prepared by PHR Performance in the senior Superstock and Superbike races. His efforts will be overseen by multiple Irish Road Racing winner and former TT competitor Derek Shields, who will have a managerial role in the team. Well, after making his TT debut in 2022, Kringle was a late call-up to the Bathams Racing squad during last year's event in place of the injured Craig Neave. While the 2026 Isle of Man TT races are scheduled to take place from Monday the 25th of May until Saturday the 6th of June. Elsewhere, two Isle of Man junior national hockey teams have reached the semi-finals of their respective England Hockey Championships competitions. Both the under-14 boys and under-16 girls squads claimed wins as two of four Manx squads in action off Ireland last weekend on Sunday the 1st of March. In an entertaining contest, the Isle of Man under-14 boys secured a 3-2 win over North Stafford in the EH Boys Tier 2 Knockout Championships. Meanwhile, the under-16 girls impressed in a comprehensive 3-0 victory over Ashby in the EH Girls under-16 Tier 2 Plate. Both of those Ireland teams now progress to the last four of their respective competitions. Elsewhere on Sunday, the under-18 girls squad were beaten on penalty strokes by Carlsa Leamington in the EH Girls under-18 Tier 2 Plate, whilst the under-14 girls were on the end of a 4-0 loss away to Rugby and East Warwickshire. And in athletics, Manx runner Ollie Lockley smashed a personal best over 5 kilometres and only just missed out on a podium finish during his latest race in London. Taking part in the Elite Men's 5 kilometre contest at the Full Night Under the Lights event at Battersea Park, the Island athlete, representing Leeds City Athletic Club, finished 4th with a time of 13 minutes 50.1 seconds. That's 20 seconds quicker than his previous time over that distance, and he was only pipped to 3rd place by Aberdeen Amateur Athletic Club runner Tom Graham Marr by half a second. Furthermore, this latest result means Ollie Lockley meets the 5,000-metre Commonwealth Games qualifying standard. He'd already reached the qualifying standard in the 10,000 metres a few weeks previous.
Who? No, sorry.
I got the name out in the air. Ollie, if you're listening, my apologies.
Oh, no, it's good. Thank you very much indeed. That is all from Update tonight. It is Countryside next with Simon and Kiri. Oh, Rob, don't laugh. Just go away. Oh, dear. Right, I've got this. Countryside is next, then Chris Kinney's here with Greatest Hits. The Folks Show with John Barker is in 9, and Dave will be here with After Hours from 10, so have a great evening. Oh, Rob, that was completely your fault. You can apologise now. That was your fault. We'll be back tomorrow, maybe.